for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, our Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, October the 2nd, 1999. Feast of Tabernacles Men's Retreat being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null of Salina, Kansas, is the teacher of the afternoon.
Praise your name, God. Lord, we just praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord. You're great and mighty and glorious, God. Lord, we just stand today now, Lord, as we stand to open your word, Lord. We stood and we have praised you, Lord God. And we praise you in your spirit. We've heard your answer by spirit, Lord God. Now, Lord, we ask you to open the word to us, Lord God. Let your pure word go forth by your spirit, Lord. Let it go into the hearts, Lord, and break the rocks, Lord, the rocks within the heart, Lord God. That it'll be a good crop. It'll bear a good crop, 30, 60, 100 fold, Lord. It shall not be a crop, Lord. It shall not be the seed. Shall not fall on hearts that are shallow, Lord, and have no root within them, Lord God. But it will break the rocks, Lord, and it will work up the soil that they can take root, Lord God, and bear a good crop, 30, 60, 100 fold for your kingdom, Lord. We ask you and we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And all God's people say, amen. I'm going to speak to you today about forgiveness, unforgiveness. Because unforgiveness, continued unforgiveness, brings bitterness and rebellion into your lives. It allows a root of bitterness to grow down into you. It makes your life bitter. It puts you into bondage. Remember that it said they cried out, the children of Israel cried out in bitter bondage because they were under the taskmasters. And if you're in unforgiveness, then you're under bitter bondage in the taskmasters. And bitterness will grow down deep in your soul. I once knew a lady. She prided herself on being part Indian. And she said, you know, Billy, Indians don't forgive. Indians don't get mad. They get even. They never forget. And she died a bitter old woman with arthritis and Alzheimer's disease. That bitterness ate into her soul and destroyed her. I have a friend who is a physician, and I heard him, this lady came up and talked to him. He'd been mayor of the town. This lady came up and talked to him, and he began to berate her. And she said, what have I ever done to you? And he recalled some offense in which she had questioned his judgment while he was on the bench as a city commissioner. She had stood up and made a public statement that had brought into question his judgment 15 years before. And she looked at him and said, you carry a grudge that long? He said, you right, I got you this time, and I'm going to get you again. He's had both hips and both knees replaced and all the joints in his hand. He walks with great difficulty from arthritis. And he's a bitter old man. He's younger than I am. But he's a bitter old man. Arthritis and high blood pressure destroying him. Destroying his family. His family is going to pieces around him. One daughter died of a cerebral hemorrhage at 43. Another son is having real problems. Another child is ill. His wife is having real problems. It all comes from unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. And so, I have taught this and taught this, and people tell me, they say, you know, how do you forgive? I said, I forgive him, Lord. I said, you don't know. I said, that. He said, you know, I had one lady said that to her. She said, she stole another man's. She stole another woman's husband when she took mine, and she dropped him, and she stole another woman's. And she said, I've been a single mother, raising my kids alone, all because that hussy stole my husband. And she dropped him, and she stole another one. And I'm supposed to forgive her? And I said, well, I said, the truth is that you're going to have to forgive him. I said, what is forgiveness? She said, I don't know, but I don't like the sound of it. I said, forgiveness is the willingness to live with the results of someone else's sin against you and not ask for revenge, to give up the right for revenge. I said, now as a practical matter, you're going to have to live with the results of sin whether you like it or not. You know, you have to live with that result of sin. But you have to make a choice to give up vengeance, being vengeful, demanding repayment. That is forgiveness. She said, God is going to have to do it. That's right. God will have to do it. I said, how? And so I talked to her, and I did what Win Worley. Have I lost my voice? And I did what Win Worley told me to, you know, as I used to listen to Win teach. He said, pray and ask God to bless them. Pray and ask God to bless them. She had a little problem with that. But she did out of obedience. But I have so many people who have real problem with forgiveness. They say, I forgive, but yet they have nightmares about it. Yet a year later, 2 years later, 10 years later, it still comes up. And when it comes up, all the emotion of it comes up again, and all the desire to get evil. And they begin to fantasize on what they could do, how they're going to get even, how they're going to show them. And they let in all kinds of evil spirits into their lives because they still haven't given up revenge. They begin to build air castles on what they should have done or how they're going to see them and what they're going to say to them and how they're going to get them. And they live in this fantasy world. And they allow a spirit of fantasy to come in. A spirit of fantasy. Of daydreaming and fantasy. Now, it also brings in its friends. It brings in its friends of sexual fantasy. Any of y'all ever had trouble with sexual fantasy? I want to ask you to hold up your hands. Because if you wouldn't hold up your hand, you'd probably be, I'd say, you're probably lying. And with sexual fantasy comes masturbation. You can't masturbate unless you fantasize. Okay? And with fantasy, you comes this idolatry. Because then you begin to worship the idol. And you build a covering. You cover, instead of God's covering over you, you build your own covering of how you're going to get even. And that all comes in because you haven't worked through forgiveness. Okay. Well, the first thing to teach this, the first thing I must talk about first is to repent. Now, no prophet ever came that his message wasn't repentance. Everybody said, repent. Jeremiah said, repent. Elijah says, repent. Hosea said, repent. Micah said, repent. They all said, repent. John the Baptist came out of the desert saying, repent. Jesus went forth after John was put in prison and said, "Repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God is at hand." They said to Peter, "What shall we do?" He said, "Repent, that times of refreshing might come upon you." Paul said, "Repent." And I say to you, repent. So what does repent mean? I had a young girl whose mother brought her to me. I had taken care of her for a long time, and then I didn't see her for a while. And she really didn't want to come to a man pediatrician anymore, and so her mother was taking her to a lady doctor. And her mother was a spirit-filled Christian, and so was this young lady. And she called me, and she said, "Doc, I want to bring my daughter over." I said, "What's wrong?" "Well, they just called me from school, and she's crying and weeping." And I knew that she'd been having trouble with rebellion, because she talked to me that this child was in rebellion. And they'd been having trouble with drinking and smoking and sexual promiscuity with her. And they said I had seen her in the office. I had seen her to church. And I had prayed that God would touch her and convict her. And she really didn't want to get prayed for, but Mother drug her up there, you know. And she stood there and stared at me while I prayed for her. And I couldn't tell we'd done anything. Well, anyway, she's crying at the. And so she brought her to my office, and she was sitting there. And I said, I took her in the treatment room and told Mother to sit down outside. And I talked to her, and she had tears running down her eyes, and she was under deep conviction of sin. But she was just crying and weeping, and said she felt so bad, and she's just horrible, and. So I talked to her about repenting of her sin. She said, "I am repenting." I said, no, you don't understand, child. I said, "You're on the godly sorrow right now. You've been convicted in your conscience, and you know that drinking and smoking and sleeping around is sin. That's wrong. But to repent means that you turn your back on it and walk away from it and don't do it anymore. And that is a gift from God. Now what you've got to do is say, 'God, give me the strength to turn away from my sin and don't do it anymore, because I can't do it without you.' Because repentance is a gift from God. To be able to turn and walk away from your sin is a true gift from God. We'll stop right here, and let's look at 2 Timothy. We look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. We'll start with verse 24. It says, "A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but gentle to all, able to teach, in humility correcting those who are in rebellion. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, that they might know the truth, they might come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. You can compare that with Acts 8:22, where Simon the sorcerer, and Peter said to him, "Repent of this wickedness, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you." If perhaps. God. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 7:10. In 2 Corinthians 7:10 it says, "For godly sorrow produces repentance to salvation, not to be regretted. But sorrow of the world produces death." Now you can be sorry, you know. I used to minister in a jail. And I had a lot of folks in there who were sorry. They're sorry they got caught. That's sorry of the world. And they thought if maybe they took a dive and acted like they'd been saved, the judge would go easy on them. They found out the judge wasn't going to go easy on them. I don't have anything to do with that. If he's not going to get me out of jail, I don't have anything to do with that, God. That's worldly sorrow. But godly sorrow brings conviction of the heart and offers hope. Sorrow of this world produces condemnation. God will never condemn you. He will convict you and show you the hope, the way out. Praise you, Lord. Now let's look at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. For you to despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. God leads you to repentance. There are some verses in the Old Testament that you can look at. Let's look at Lamentations, chapter 5. Lamentations, remember, follows Jeremiah. Jeremiah follows Isaiah. And look at the next to the last verse in Lamentations, chapter 5, verse 21. Him, Jeremiah, has prayed for repentance, has confessed the sins and the iniquities of Israel and their fathers, and has listed the results of the sins of the fathers, of what it has done to them. It takes an hour to go through this. I won't do that. But look at verse 21. It says here, turn us back to you, O Lord, that we might be restored. Now he calls on God to turn them. Now repentance, the word repentance in the Greek is a language of the mind. And it says to change your mind. It literally, the Greek means to change your mind, to be convicted is wrong. The Hebrew for repentance means to turn around and walk away from it. It means to turn and to walk away. And so here we have Jeremiah saying, God, turn us, Lord. Repent us, Lord God. Now let's look at the same word is used in Psalm 80. It's used in Psalm 80, verse 3, turn us, O Lord. The King James says, restore. The same word translated turn in Jeremiah and in verse 3, verse 7, and verse 18 says, turn us, O God, and cause your face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved. And verse 17 says, turn us, O God, Lord God of hosts, and cause your face to shine us, and we shall be saved. In case you're interested, the same word used in Lamentations 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will turn from their wicked ways. Same word. And it means to turn. And here it calls on God to do the turning. And so to repent, first you have godly sorrow. And then you have conviction, and you ask God to turn you. Well, I asked this young, so I prayed with this young lady, and she became convicted, and she prayed and asked God to turn her. The next night, she called me all excited, and she said, Doc, I've gotten saved. Jesus Christ appeared to me in my dormitory room, and I got saved. I know what it really is. I know what it means to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And she's a saved, spiritual Christian today. She's got a call on her life. God's called her. She's kicking against the goads right now. She'll go in full-time ministry. She's just sort of kicking against the goads right now. God bless her. Bless her, Lord Jesus. Bless her. Bless her. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And so, that is the word repent. It is God convicting you and then turning you and you accepting the return. That you accepting the spirit of repentance which will turn you from your sin. You've got to accept it. So you can't get saved anytime you want to. You can get saved when God gives you a spirit of repentance. And if he gives it to you, you better grab and run. If you have sin in your life and God convicts you of your sin, and suddenly you realize that that is wrong, you better stop right there and repent and turn from it right then. I have people come to me for deliverance. And they got this and this and this and this and this. And they want deliverance from this and this, but they never had to give up this, 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 and this. And I tell them, I say, that's very nice, brother. When you're ready to get rid of it, turn to God, come back to see me. I'm not going to waste my and your time. and do you an injustice by praying for you when God hasn't turned you. You aren't convicted of those things. You just want to get better so you can feel a little better. But you're not ready to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And I put them out of my house. That may seem hard-hearted, but if you aren't ready, I tell people, if you aren't ready to turn from the world and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not ready for deliverance. You're still stubborn. You're still in your rebellion. You're still in your sin. And so, forgiveness, to forgive. Now, this is the definition out of Webster's New International Dictionary. This is what forgive means. To give up resentment. The first definition is to give up resentment against or desire to punish. To give up your resentment against someone or your desire to punish them. That's the first definition. Stop being angry with or pardon. That's the first definition. Second definition, to give up all claim to punishment or extract penalty for an offense, to overlook. The third definition is to cancel or remit a debt. Those are the three definitions for forgive out of Webster's Dictionary. Webster's Dictionary, the word forgive by dictionary definition. You know, I have people argue about the Bible. And they'll argue with me about the Bible. I never heard anybody argue with me about what the dictionary says. You know why Webster wrote the dictionary? So people understand the Bible. Noah Webster was a great Christian. He is a translation of the Bible. But he wrote the dictionary so people could understand the Bible. And so you look up what the word means. It means to give up your resentment, your desire to punish, to give up revenge. That's what forgive means. It means to cancel the debt, to tear up the IOU. That's what forgive means. Well, why do we have to forgive? Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. First is Matthew 6:12. It says, forgive our debts by the same measure as we forgive our debtors. That's the dictionary. That third definition is to give up debts. That's to forgive. Okay. But you come on down to verse 14, it gets a little more precise. It says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Well, where else does it say that in the Bible? I mean, you know, that's pretty clear. Let's look at Mark 11. Mark 11, 25 and 26. I always like to read 25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. That says has something to do with your prayers, doesn't it? I mean, you know, unforgiveness has got something to do, because he says when you stand praying, you're supposed to search your conscience to see if you're mad at anybody. You got anything on your conscience you're mad about? You're unhappy with somebody? If you do, forgive him. Okay. Let's look at Luke chapter 6, 38. Verse 6, 38, 37, the last portion. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. It says, give, and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It will be put into your bosom, for by the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Somehow or other, I think those two go together there. And so, God says, forgive. Praise your Lord Jesus. Praise your Lord. And then we've got the last one is Matthew 18. And before we go to Matthew 18, let's look over at Luke 17. Keep your finger there, Martin. Let's look at Luke 17. And here, Jesus says, Luke 17, verse 3, Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times a day returns to you and says, I repent, you shall forgive him. To which the poor apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. And so, a few days later, going back to Matthew 18, a few days later, Peter came up to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times. That's what you said the other day, wasn't it? 7 times. And he said, I didn't say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times 7, which is a rather large number. And then he goes on to tell a parable, which I'm all sure all of you are familiar with. The man was brought before God, who owed him, was brought before his master, and he owed him 10,000 talents. Now, a talent of gold is 90 pounds. In the Orient, if it says talent, it doesn't specify it means gold. And that's well over $1 billion. 10,000 talents, that's well over $1 billion at the current price of gold. And he wasn't able to pay, and so the master commanded he be sold, his wife and his children and all that he had. You know, gentlemen, when you come up before God, you know, he can demand your wife and your children and all that you have, everything you're responsible for. Keep short accounts. Paul said, I have always labored to keep a clear conscience before man and God. He kept short accounts. And I say to y'all that if you get a conviction, stop right then and repent and move away from it. God will forgive you, and you'll receive the spirit of repentance, and you can move away from that sin. But if you think it's pretty good, you're going to repent later. You're going to be like the young couple that came to me for counseling. I wasn't getting anywhere with them. They were going to get married, and they had some sickness in the family, and they had some torment in their family, and some other things. And I counseled them for about 15 or 20 minutes, and I just got really uncomfortable. So finally I said, you two sleeping together? And they began sort of grin a little bit. I said, you know, I have a vision. God gave me this vision. I said, you two going into the Motel 40. That was a little cheap motel there in the hometown. I said, I see y'all going there. It's on Saturday afternoon. Is that true? And they began to, yeah. I said, y'all fornicating? Yeah. But we repent afterwards. I said, let me get this straight now. Y'all going out of that hotel every Saturday afternoon. Y'all going to rent that motel room and fornicate. And then you get out on the side of the bed afterwards and pray and ask God to forgive you and repent. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. I said, you know, that's an abomination to God. I said, you're insulting the Holy Spirit. That's what it says in Hebrew 10. When you continue to sin, after you come to a knowledge of the truth, you have insulted the Spirit of Christ. I don't want to insult him. Now, if he convicts you and you continue and move on in that sin, deciding you're going to repent later, you have insulted God. Think about it. Well, this is going on. Lord Jesus, praise God, I'm getting... I hope y'all still love me. Okay. And so, he fell down, and the master ordered he be sold. And he had compassion and released him from the debt. And he went out and grabbed his fellow servant who owed him 100 denarii, which is 100 days' wages. You figure $75 a day. Man owed him about $10,000. He given $1 billion, you know. He just owed him about $10,000. And he said, you pay up, buddy. He couldn't pay. Threw him in jail. Threw him in debtor's prison. The master was wroth. And so he brought that servant back. And he said, I had compassion on you. Why didn't you have compassion on your fellow servants? God will say to you, I compassionate you. I forgave you all your sins. I brought you into the kingdom of God. Why couldn't you have compassion on your fellow servant who sinned against you? And so then the master, verse 34, the master was angry and delivered him to the torturers. My book says torturers. Now, the New American Standard says the tormentors. The New International said put him in jail. And there's another translation says the torturers, the tormentors, and put him in jail. And so my Heavenly Father will do to each of you from his heart, does not forgive his brother from his trespasses. Forgive from his heart. What's that word? From his heart. That means it becomes a spiritual thing. It's more than an act of your will. I've always heard it taught that it was just an act of your will. It was something you had to say, I'll just do it. I forgive you, and you move on. But there's no spiritual component that goes with it. It'll come back to haunt you. I went onto my computer, and I printed out, put the word forgive and then a star and punched the button. And I got some 87 verses out of the Bible, which have forgive, forgive, forgiven, forgiveness, derivation of the words forgive, unforgiveness. It's got forgive in it. And I found there were some interesting verses in there. Praise you, Lord. In Daniel 9:9, let's read that. Daniel 9:9. And here Daniel is praying. In verse 2 it says, the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord given through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. That's Jeremiah 29:10. So I set my face towards the Lord to make my request by fasting and sackcloth and so forth. And then he began to confess the sins of Israel. And this is an interesting prayer. But on verse 9 he says, to the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness. And so we find that repentance is a spirit that God grants you. And so is forgiveness. All of the verses in the Old Testament about forgiveness related to God forgiving you. Except for this one. It says that mercy and forgiveness belong to God. And so, let's look now at Acts 5:31. And here, the apostles are preaching to the council. Council, you remember they were preaching in one afternoon. They were doing mighty miracles, and then one time they were arrested and they put them in jail. And the next morning, and the angel came and released them from jail and told them to go back in the temple and preach. And they were in there preaching, and so the council asked them to come talk to them. And so Peter began to preach to them, and he said, look at verse 30. God our fathers raised up Jesus, who you murdered by hanging on a tree. Then God has exalted him to his right hand to be Prince and Savior, and to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. So now we find that both repentance and forgiveness are given as gifts. They're given as gifts. We find that forgiveness belongs to God. And now we find that Him, Jesus, gives you a gift of repentance. And we are His witness to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. I always thought that's fair. You never hear anybody preaching on that one, though. When they're talking about getting baptized with the Holy Ghost, you never hear anybody talk about He's given to the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. Okay. And so now we find that mercy, forgiveness, and repentance belong to God. Let's look over at Romans 12:19. Starting back at verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for the good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Well, goodness, that means that God owns revengeance too. And so if you try to claim revengeance, you're stealing from God. He says, vengeance is mine. Well, that's just one verse. Well, let's look at Leviticus 19:18. Just hold your finger there and let's look over Leviticus 19:18. Leviticus 19:18 says, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And let's look at Deuteronomy 32:35. Charles Wesley says, you could find three verses you could establish a doctrine. 35. It says, vengeance is mine and recompense. Their foot shall slip in due time, for the day of their calamity is hand, the things to come hasten upon them. Here Moses is praying. It's called the Song of Moses. You can read the whole thing. It's very interesting. But the point I wanted to make to you is that Jesus said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Now, Jesus has been raised up to give forgiveness. And in Luke 23:24, what did he say? He asked the Father. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them. I have no desire for revenge against them. Now, Jesus was a man. He was uniquely God. But he walked this earth as a man, as you and I. And every miracle that he did by the gifts of the Spirit. Or he would not have been a man if he'd used his power as God. It says in Philippians, he emptied himself or gave up all of his godly privileges. Did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied it all out. And came as a man, appeared as a man, and he walked it out as a man with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it says in John 12:49, he was completely led by the Spirit at all times. Look at 12:49. I like the way it says, for I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. Now, I like the New International Version there because it says, he said, what I should say and how I should say it. Jesus said, God told me the spin to put on it. And he said, forgive. And he's been raised up a Savior and Prince to give repentance and to give forgiveness. And so we come down now and we find that repentance, that forgiveness, is to repent of vengeance. It is to repent of vengeance. The desire to get even. The desire to extract payment. The desire to extract a debt. Give it up. You repent and you walk away from it. And you ask God for that. How do you do that? Well, you do what Jesus did on the cross. You pray for him. Father. You notice he didn't say, I forgive. He said, Father, forgive. And so you pray for them. Praise God, Jesus. Let's look at, go back to Matthew chapter 5 now. Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 43. You've heard it said, that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. So they have the key. You've got to pray for them. Let's look at Luke chapter 6 now. Look at Luke chapter 6, 27 and 28. But I say to you, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who curse you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. But verse 35, but love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the highest, for he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. And 37, forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it shall be given unto you. We've read those. And so I say to you that the way, if you want to get free of long-standing hurt, of things that have plagued you, and there's nobody in this room who hasn't been hurt, who hasn't been spitefully used, who hasn't had things taken from them, who haven't had mean, cruel words said to them, haven't had their friends hurt, their family, people dear to them, hurt by cruel words. If you want to get rid of those things, you pray for those people. If you don't, then rebellion. And if you plotted and you sit and you fumed and you strayed and you seethed over it and you fantasized how you're going to get even, then you're guilty. Then you're guilty of idolatry. And you need to ask God to break the curse of idolatry, of worshiping yourself as God. And you need to break the curse that's over you for leaning on your own plans, leaning on the world, going to Pharaoh for wisdom. Let's look at that. Isaiah chapter 30. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel but not of me, and who weave a covering. The New King James says devise a plan. Old King James says weave a covering. Literally it means to weave a spider's web. But not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. They go down to Egypt, that's the world. They have not asked my advice. They strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, the devil, and trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore the strength of the devil shall be your shame, and the shadow of this world shall be your humiliation. Now I have put devil for Pharaoh and world for Egypt. That's it. Sometimes maybe you will just fantasize that you're going to get to be a real rich man. And you'll show those people. Or you're going to get promoted over them at the job. And then you're going to be in a position of authority, and then you'll show them who's important. I mean, I don't know what your fantasy is. The devil gives everybody a little different one when you get into that spirit of fantasy. And it comes with rejection. It comes with hurt. It comes with when you rebel and won't forgive. And then your bitterness comes. You know, rebellion and bitter come from the same Hebrew word. It says in 1 Samuel 15 that rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity unto idolatry. Well, the word there translated rebellion is mara. That's the same root word as bitterness. And if you look at it in Strong's dictionary, you'll see that it has an alternate. The first definition is rebellion. The second one is bitterness. I say to you, if you become rebellious, you will be bitter. And if you stay bitter, you will be rebellious. You'll eventually rebel. And if you lean on your own understanding to get even, you'll become both bitter and rebellious against God. You'll become stubborn and worship yourself. That's all they had in Isaiah chapter 30. When you start devising plans, not of his spirit, but of your own spirit, and looking into the world as a way to get even. Okay. I'm going to show you now what. Let's look first at Job, at some examples where God said, pray that you might be healed. Let's look at Job first, chapter 42, the last chapter of Job. And it gives you in this the key to Job 2. Look at chapter 42, verse 7. And so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, the Lord said to Elazar the Tebaite, My wrath is aroused against you and your friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. And there's the key to Job. God, the Holy Spirit inspired Job to speak what was right. His, what his friends spoke, you cannot, is not dependable. Job, God says right here, it's not right. Read it with that in mind. But he says, my servant Job has. Now therefore take for yourself 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken to me what is right as my servant Job has. And so Elivaz, the Teabite, and Bildad, somebody, and Sobat, to somebody else, went and did as God commanded them, for God had accepted Job. In verse 10, the Lord turned the captivity of Job, or restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Now there we have Job, who had been tormented by these, he said, you are miserable comforters. These people who came to comfort him, and they sat and accused him for days, saying, come on now, fess up, Job. In case you're interested, this happened in Pentecost after Pentecost, when a Pentecostal would get sick, all of Job's comforters would gather around the bed and say, all right now, fess up. What kind of, how'd you let the devil in now? What kind of sin are you involved in that you let the devil come in like this? And just torment that poor person to confess some sin. Gave the Pentecost a bad name. But Job's comforters, Job prayed for them, God healed Job. Okay. Well, let's look in Genesis chapter 20. And here we find Abraham. And we start, you look at chapter 20, and you said, you're all familiar with this story. Abraham was journeying south, and he told his wife, Sarah, says, you know, say you're my sister, and Sarah was his half-sister. Don't tell me you're my wife, because you're so good-looking. She's in her 80s now. You're so good-looking, they'll kill me so they can have you. And so the king, he saw her, and he took her and put her in his harem. Took the man's wife. Now, he wronged Abraham. But God appeared to him in a dream and said to him, that man's my prophet. And you take, he said, well Lord, now I did this with cleanness of my heart. Said, you know, I asked him. He said that was his sister. He said, nevertheless, God, I'm not going to kill you because of it. Said, you just take, said, you go make retribution to him, give him his wife back, and then I'll have him pray for you, and I'll heal you. You can read it there. That's what it generally it says. In verse 17, it says, so he went to verse 16. He said to Sarah, behold, I've given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Indeed, this vindicates me before all of you. And who are with you and before all the others, and thus you was reproved. So Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his maidservants, and then they bore children because God had closed their wounds. And so here we find two instances in which people who have wronged somebody come to them and ask forgiveness. And God says, you pray for them, and they'll be healed. Okay? You pray. So they've come and asked you to forgive them. You forgive and you pray to me that I can grant them. You intercede for them. You stand in the gap. And I'll heal your land. I'll heal you. Now let's look at one at another place here. Let's look at Numbers 14. Now here we'll find where people didn't ask. They didn't come and ask for forgiveness. And here we find Moses. Now you know God brought them out of Egypt and through the desert and provided for them. And they saw water flow out of the river. They saw the Egyptians drowned in the sea. They saw manna from heaven come down. And so they sent 20 spies in to spy, I mean, 12 spies to spy out the land, to spy it out for 40 days. And they came back and said, man, that land is full of giants, got big cities that go up to the sky. We was grasshoppers and their sights. And there were two men that brought a good report and 10 brought the bad report. And they all went to bed that night and they cried. They're scared to go in. Let's look at chapter 14. Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we died in the land of Egypt, or we died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the swords that our wives and our children should convict them? Would it not be better if we returned to Egypt? And so they said to one, let's select the leader and return to Egypt. And then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of God, the children of Israel. And Moses intervened, and he said, verse 19, pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, because in the greatness of your mercy, just as you've forgiven this people from Egypt until now, then the Lord said, I have abhorred or pardon them according to your word. Now, they were getting ready to stone Moses now. In another place, it says they were ready to stone him. Moses and Aaron fell down on their face and prayed. How long y'all suppose they prayed? You suppose they prayed a short time, you know, just a quick prayer. Lord, forgive them! No, it didn't work quite that way. Let's turn to Deuteronomy and we'll see what Moses says about it here. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Oh, me, 23 and 24. Likewise, when the Lord sent you to Kish-bearing sin, go up and possess the land which I've given you, then you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God and didn't believe nor obey his voice. You've been rebellious against the Lord from the day I knew you. Thus I prostrated myself before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights and kept prostrating myself because the Lord had said he would destroy you. So Moses prayed 40 days and 40 nights. Wasn't no quick prayer. Now remember, Moses was a man. He was God's servant. He was humble. He was meek. The meekest man in all the Bible. But it took him 40 days to pray through on his face day and night. It wasn't unusual for him back here when they made the golden calf. Verse 18 says, I fell before the Lord at first 40 days and nights, neither ate bread nor drank water because of your sin. And you committed doing wickedness to the sight of God to provoke him to anger. But then they weren't getting ready to cast him out and get a new leader. They're going to get rid of Moses there and get a new leader. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Say to you that you need to pray. If you stay angry and vengeful, you're robbing God. Because vengeance belongs to God. He wants to give you forgiveness. He raised up Jesus Christ to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness. So today we're going to pray a little bit. And we're going to come against unforgiveness, bitterness. You know, if you have unforgiveness, bitterness in your heart, and you've got somebody that's really hurt you in the past, you can have an evil soul tied to them. Now, people ask me, where in the Bible does it talk about soul ties? And soul ties are like puppet strings. You remember that in Luke, the lady who was bent over with the spirit of infirmity for 18 years? And the word used there has, lo, Satan has bound these 18 years. Only used one place in the Bible, used there. And that word means a ligament or a puppet string. God and the devil can bind your soul the same way. movement. He'll attach that to a hurt place in you where you hadn't prayed through. He'll attach that thing to a hurt place where you hadn't prayed through. And he's just sitting there festering and you've forgotten about it. Devil, he hadn't forgotten about it, though. And when he'll just sort of pull that string a little bit, and suddenly that memory will come back to you. And all that hurt will come back to you. And that bitterness will well up in you. And still there eating on you like a fire in a sawdust pile. You know, when I was a little kid, they used to have these peckerwood sawmills that would go around, and you know, and they'd set up and they'd cut timber and they'd have this big pile of sawdust and they'd start a fire under it and they'd pile the sawdust up on top of it. And that sawdust pile used to sit there for maybe 4 or 5 years, you know. And one day you go down and it's just gone. Fire had eaten it up on the inside. You couldn't tell it was there. But just smoldering on the inside. And suddenly the whole thing just falls in. And that's the way the devil is with bitterness. That root will rise out. God showed me once the curse of bitterness. And I saw this curse go out like a laser beam and it hit this person. And it just hit him and it just grew into him just like roots going out. But you know, God can pour a little Roundup on it and it'll kill the roots. You know, you can cut the top off of the dandelion, it keeps going. You sprout a little Roundup on it, and it'll die to the roots. God can put a little Roundup on your bitterness. He doesn't have to pull it out and tear out all everything with it. He just spray a little Roundup on it. It'll die. Wither and die to the roots. Jesus had gave us an example of that with the fig tree. It was cursed to the roots and withered and died. And your bitterness, that root of bitterness that's growing in you that will defile you because of unforgiveness. That thing that keeps tormenting you, won't let you sleep at night, wakes you up. When you see them, suddenly you're walking down the street, you know, and you hadn't seen them in 10 years, and you see them, and Satan just pulls on that old bucket string. Boy, that anger, and just that big boy, it ruins your whole day, just mad all day. It's all stirred up again. It says in Isaiah, it says, wicked are like the troubled sea, casting up dirt and mire. There is no peace for the wicked. And that unforgiveness, you're by definition a wicked person, even though you don't know it. It's all, but it just comes up and you see all that dirt and mire getting cast up. We need to get rid of the unforgiveness, people. We need to get rid of the bitterness. We need to ask God to give us a spirit of repentance that we can turn. One of the first talks that I give to the men, or I talk to them about, is that you got to be honest. You got to be honest. God already knows. He knows what's in your heart. He's the only one that knows what's in your heart. The devil don't know. Devil can't read your heart. He knows what he can put in it. He knows what he's put there. But he doesn't know what you're thinking. He's got to get you to express it. He's always guessing. But God knows what's in your heart. God wants you to empty it out. He wants you to empty out your unforgiveness. Hold up to him. And let him turn you. Let him turn you. And if it's something that's been there a long time, you just keep praying. We're going to work on it today. And you just keep praying and saying, God, bless them. Bless them, Lord Jesus. Remember, pray for those who abuse you and spitefully use you, that you may be a son of your Father. Who's now. I mean, you don't want to be sons of God. You want to be a son of God? Then get rid of your wickedness. Get rid of your unforgiveness. Get rid of your bitterness. Somebody hurts you and it hurts, forgive them. Say, God, I forgive them. I don't want anything. I don't want any matter. I don't want anything back. And some type of vengeful thought tries to come in, you take that thought captive immediately and say, no, I refuse that. In the name of Jesus Christ, bless them, Lord God. Bless them. And you may have to keep doing that. You know, it says, do not yield your body as instruments of wickedness, but yield your members to God to be weapons of righteousness. Don't yield when the devil injects that thought into you. Say, no, I will not accept that, Lord. Take that thing, Lord. I give it to you. Give me the strength to stand. And realize you stand in God's strength, not your own. As the prophecy said, we got a prophecy today that the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. It's the Lord's battle, but you got to stand on His side. And God doesn't expect you to be like the tree out there. If He didn't expect you to exercise your will, He'd have made you like a tree out there. Those trees don't ever sin, you know that? They don't ever get mad at anybody, they don't ever fornicate, they don't ever drink, they don't ever get angry and scream and yell and say blasphemous, they don't do anything, you just stand there. Well, God didn't make you a tree, He made you in His own image. And He wants you to let His love flow through you. Let His forgiveness and His repentance flow through you. He wants you to accept His gifts. He has great and wondrous gifts for you, if you'll take them. Unfortunately, most of us are quite proud, and we say, I can do it. I can do that. No, that's no big deal. I'll lean on the strength of the Pharaoh, the shadow of the world. That's what you're doing when you say, I can do it. I can do all things through Jesus, who strengthens me. For He's given me the spirit of repentance and forgiveness of sin. And He is my Lord and Savior. For God has raised Him up to be Lord and Savior to give repentance and forgiveness of sin. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand up. We've all been sitting there almost 2 hours. And it's said that the brain can only absorb what the fanny can endure. Let's praise God a little bit. Let's jump up and down and praise Him. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise You and bless You and glorify You, Lord God. Praise Your holy name, Lord Jesus. Praise You and bless You, Lord. Praise Your name, Lord Jesus. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I want you to repeat after me, please. Say, dear Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of God. He was manifested in the flesh. Died on the cross for my sin. Was resurrected from the dead for my justification. Ascended into heaven. Sits on the right hand of the Father. Ever to make intercession for me. I am a child of God. I am accepted in the Beloved. God is my Father. Jesus Christ is my big brother. I am joint heir with Him to the kingdom of God. Thank You, Lord. Dear Lord, I confess the sins of my ancestors. I confess bitterness and vengeance, rebellion, iniquity in the name of Jesus, idolatry in Jesus' name, whoredom. I break all these curses. I ask that the sins be forgiven, so that the curses might be broken. For Jesus was made a curse for me, that I might be delivered from the curse of the law. Now, Lord Jesus, deliver me from hurt, from rebellion, from vengeance, from fantasy, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, You are my deliverer. You say in Your word, if we ask anything in Your name,
You will do it. You are my brother, my redeemer kinsman. Set me free, Lord, from the power of the enemy. Cover me with your wing. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I forgive all my enemies. All those who hurt me. All those who spitefully used me. Lord Jesus, I ask you, grant them repentance. Grant me repentance, Lord, that I might turn from my rebellion, from my hurt, from my desire for vengeance. Free me, Lord, from bitterness, from deep hurt, from fantasy, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. For it is written in Joel 2:32, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Deliver me now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Now I want you to sit and think if there's anyone that you hold resentment against, anyone that you're mad at, anyone who's abused you that the Holy Spirit brings to mind. I want you to say out loud, under your breath, but put it in the airways. I want you to say their name. I forgive John, Joe, Gene, Jack, Blue. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, you hear my cry. Bless my enemies, now, Lord. Touch them with forgiveness, Lord, to be set free. Bless them. Touch their lives. Bring them to salvation. Bless them abundantly. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, set me free. Let me repent and turn away in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, you said that you came that I might have your peace. You said, my peace I give you. Lord, give me your peace. Now and forever. In the name of Jesus. Now, all you spirits of bitterness, I just bind you and I break your power now. I break the power of bitterness in these men's lives in the name of Jesus. I break the power of bitterness. Bitterness, I break your power now. I pull you out in the name of Jesus. I pull you out. I curse you to your roots and I command you to leave. Be gone. All spirits of revenge in the name of Jesus, of getting even, I break your power. All spirits of deep hurt, turn them loose now. All spirits of hurt, deep hurt, and rejection, leave God's people now. Just leave them. You can't have them. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose. Turn them loose now. Don't you tear them. You turn them loose in Jesus' name. All spirits of rejection, deep hurt, unforgiveness, revenge, fantasy, I break your power now. Fantasy, sexual fantasy. Sexual fantasy. Fantasy after money, after power, after position, after revenge, I break your power. All spirits of fantasy, I break your power. Spirit of fantasy, come out in the name of Jesus. Spirit of daydreaming, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. Come on out of there, fantasy and daydreaming. Masturbation, I break your power in the name of Jesus. Spirit of masturbation and sexual fantasy, I command you to be gone in the name of Jesus. Spirit of whoredom, come out. Come out. Fornication and whoredom, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Spirit of pornography, come out in the name of Jesus. spirit of watching the jigglers on television. Come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of lust, sexual lust, come out in the name of Jesus. I break your power. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of rebellion and witchcraft, come out. Rebellion and witchcraft, I break your power. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of rebellion. Rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Come out now. All rebellion and bitterness. Come out. The root of bitterness. Come out of there. The root of bitterness in the name of Jesus. All root of bitterness. Come out. Come out. 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 All of you. Come out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. All rebellion in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out. Come out in the name of Jesus. All rebellion and idolatry and stubbornness. Stubborn spirits. Stubborn spirits. Come out. Unteachable spirits. Spirits of deception. Come out in the name of Jesus. Deceiving spirits. Religious spirits. Lying spirits. Pharisee spirits. Come out there in the name of Jesus Christ. Better than I. Better than thou spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus. All you lying, deceiving spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus. Seducing spirits. I break your power. Leave God's people now. Come out, all of you. Out, out. All the seducing, lying spirits. I break your power in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. I say, come out. All stubborn spirits, unteachable spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out. Out, out, out. All spirits of the Antichrist, come out. Antichrist spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Antichrist spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All perfectionistic spirits, spirits of perfection, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All critical spirits, spirits of criticism, constructive criticism, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of critical spirits, come out. If you'd just been a little bit better, if you just worked a little bit harder, you'd have made it. I break the power of that thing in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out! All spirits of criticizing, criticizing your wife, criticizing your children, criticizing your employees, criticizing your boss in the name of Jesus, criticizing those authority over you, criticizing the pastor. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Criticizing the flock. Come out! Come out! Come out! All spirits of deep hurt, come out in the name of Jesus. Being hurt by the flock, being hurt by the... Come out in the name of Jesus. I break your power. Break your power. Being hurt by the pastor, come out. Come out. Come out. All spirits, come out. Being hurt by the pastor, come out. He won't let me sing in the choir. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Won't let me prophesy in church. Come out. Won't let me pray for people. Come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of deep hurt by the pastor, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Break your power. Break all religious spirits, all Pharisee spirits, all deceiving spirits. I break your power. Lord Jesus, I ask you to open their eyes if they can see now, Lord God. Just open their eyes if they can behold in your glory, Lord God. I break the power of the occult now, Lord God. All the occult spirits, all the relaxing spirits, all the yoga spirits, all the transcendental meditation spirits, all the Lama spirits. I break the power of yoga and Hinduism in the name of Jesus. And Buddhism, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power of Kundalini. Kundalini, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Uncoil off their background. Come out, Kundalini. I break your power. Come out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. Come out. Come out. Come out of there. Uncoil and come out in the name of Jesus. Uncoil in Jesus' name. I break the power of Kundalini. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. Come out. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, we break the power of the Antichrist now in the name of Jesus. All Antichrist spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits, the great spirit of me, myself, and I. This me spirit, I spirit, my spirit. Come out in the name of Christ, you Antichrist devil. Come out, you spirit of self-centeredness in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power of the Antichrist of being self-centered in the name of Jesus. Can't keep your eyes off yourself. Can't look at the Lord because you're looking at yourself. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. You can't. Come out. Come out. I break the power of unbelief in the name of Jesus. Spirits of unbelief, come out. All spirits of unbelief, they won't let people believe the gospel. I break the power, they won't let them have faith in the name of Jesus. I break all false healings now in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against all the spirits of false healing that may receive from a false healer in the name of Jesus. They've been come down to the family line. People who've been gone, who've gone to the faith healer in the name of Jesus. Gone to the Christian science practitioner in the name of Jesus. Gone to the hoodoo and the voodoo. And come out in the name of the spiritualist in the name of Jesus. I break the power of these false healings now. False healings, I break your power and I command you to come out of them in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak healing and restitution to them. I speak healing, for by his stripes they have been healed. All spirits of yoga, come out. All spirits of headaches, come out. All spirits of sinus problems, come out. All spirits of eye problems, come out. Glaucoma, come out of there. All spirits of deafness and tinnitus, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out! Come out! All spirits of deafness and tinnitus, I break your power. Y'all can sit down if you'd like. Praise your Lord Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, I bind the power of the enemy now. I bind hay fever. I bind allergies and hay fever. I break the curse of allergies and hay fever in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse that come down through the family line. I speak to all allergies and hay fever and asthma and sinus problems. And I break your power and I say, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of allergy to foods, come out. All spirits of angionic edema, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. We break your power. Command you to be gone in the name of Jesus. Be gone, all of you. Be gone in the name of Jesus. I break the power of pneumonia, of TB in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power of pleuritis in the name of Jesus. I break the power of herpes in the name of Jesus. I break the power of shingles in the name of Jesus. Come out. Pleurisy, come out in the name of Jesus. All heart trouble, all lung trouble, come out. All cancer, I break your power. Come out, cancer. Come out. Come out, cancer. In the name of Jesus, I bind the cancer of the colon. I bind cancer of the stomach, cancer of the pancreas, cancer of the mind. Come out, cancer of the brain. Come out. All cancer, I break your power. All spirits of death, I break your power. Come out. In Jesus' name. All spirits of Alzheimer's, come out. Leave them in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Go in the name of Jesus. Go. Go. I break the power of Crohn's disease, of diabetes. Come out in the name of Jesus. I break the power of enteritis, colitis, in the name of Jesus. Duodenitis, come out. Pancreatitis, come out. All of you. Cystitis, prostatitis, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power of chlamydia and gonorrhea and herpes in the name of Jesus Christ. They come out of their backs in the name of Jesus. All spirits of herpes, come out. I break your power. You can't torment God's people anymore. Come out of them in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. Come out in the name of Jesus. All of you. Leave now in the name of Jesus Christ. Every bit of you. Come out. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Break the power of arthritis now. All arthritis, come out. All myositis, come out. All myositis, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. All neuritis, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power of neuritis, arthritis, myositis. Come out. Scleroderma, I break your power. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. Be gone. I break the power of back trouble now. All back trouble, I break your power. Lord, hold up Jerry to you, Lord, and touch his back in the name of Jesus. I break the power of that thing in the name of Jesus. All back injuries, come out. Line up with the Word of God. The Word of God says they've been healed. Come out of there. All of you, come out. All back trouble, come out of there. Uncoil off their backs and come out in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Put both feet on the floor, brother.
In the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All of you. Be gone in Jesus' name. Be gone. Leave in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your powers. I break your powers. Oh, Jesus, come down, Lord Jesus, and touch your people now, Lord. Lord, I just speak healing to their minds now, Lord. I break all ungodly soul ties to the past, to hurt. I cut them loose by the power of the Spirit of God, Lord God. I call back, I send forth the angels now, Lord, to gather up their soul, Lord God. Gather up their tattered soul, Lord. A lion has ravaged their soul, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.